Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Chevrons. If you're new here, I'm Airman First Class Julia Ahasey, and I'll be your host for this podcast, For the Enlisted Force, by the Enlisted Force. So today, we're going to talk about the importance of participation and getting involved and being part of something bigger than yourself. But before we get to that conversation with our special guests, we're going to go through a little housekeeping. Chevrons is undergoing a revamp. If you're a repeat listener, you know that Chevrons was built for all enlisted members across all branches of the armed forces, across the nation, and across the world. We want to exist for service members who want to become a better version of themselves. Starting this month, the Chevrons crew decided that we want to provide more resources for our listeners and to open the conversation to anyone who wants to join. That's why we are now present on social media. You can find Chevrons on Facebook and Instagram as chevrons.podcast, where you'll find book recommendations, video clips, questions, reminders, and more. We want to be your go-to space for growth as you become the best version of yourself. In other exciting news, if you prefer watching your podcasts, you can find episodes from this point forward on YouTube. Visit the show notes for links to our Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure to follow along. We appreciate all our listeners, and we hope you're as excited as we are about the future of our podcast. If you would like to suggest a topic or a guest or would like to appear on Chevrons yourself, please drop us an email at chevrons.podcast@gmail.com or message us on social media. Now, let's welcome this week's guest to the podcast. Today, we'll be talking to Air Force Chief Master Sergeant Shane McGuire and Senior Master Sergeant Rachel Jacobs from the 102nd Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Group. Welcome to the podcast, Chief McGuire and Senior Jacobs.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
To start this episode, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves? Can you talk about your roles here at the 102nd, what groups or councils you're involved in, and anything else about your career in the Air National Guard?
Oh, is that you want me to go first?
You first.
All right. Senior Master Sergeant Rachel Jacobs. I am the current logistics plans superintendent at LRS, and I'm currently serving as the top three chairperson for the top three council.
Awesome. So Chief McGuire, I'm the former chairperson of the top three, and currently I'm kind of involved in a little bit of everything, or trying to be involved in a little bit of everything.
Nice. So today we're going to talk about the importance of participation and being involved in something that contributes to a cause bigger than ourselves. You're both very heavily involved on base. What do you personally get out of participating? Why do you do it?
I think for like me personally, I think it's to help take care of our airmen. Like you said, it's part of doing something that's bigger than yourself. So I think that's a huge reason why I do it, to take care of them, to try to do better by all of the senior NCOs across the base, and try to get everybody more heavily involved in the wing.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, my overall reason is to try and benefit every airman in the wing. There's always something out there that needs advocacy. There's always things that need doing around the base. And having a collective set of voices, not only in the senior NCO corps, but for the entirety of the wing, I think is hugely important. Secondly, I think it gives great opportunities to develop, again, not only our senior NCOs through the top three, our senior NCOs, but as well as every member in the wing with whatever opportunities might present themselves. Those are two of my big reasons. And I think lastly, a really good part about being involved in the councils is that it gives folks who are members, active participants, it gives them exposure to things around the wing, things outside of their work center, their AFSC that they might not otherwise have the opportunity to be a part of. So
we've talked about it a few times. I think we should kind of tell our listeners what the top three council is and what the rising six is. I know that it's not unique to our unit. Other units have it across the Air Force, but not every unit has a top three council or a rising six council. It might be something that they want to adopt into their unit after listening to this episode or learn more about. So I can talk a little bit about the rising six council. So the rising six is open to every service member, every airman on our base, E6 and below. And we have monthly meetings where we talk about concerns that we're having, volunteer opportunities, educational opportunities, and community service opportunities to get involved with on base or off base. We also, during these meetings, have guest speakers who talk about leadership and provide mentorship and kind of give us different resources for professional and personal development. And then we also kind of talk about any concerns that we have within our workplace, or any questions that we have that we don't know where to find an answer, or any obstacles that we're facing or our friends are facing. And we kind of try to find a solution. And then the top three, we then work with them to kind of amplify the voices of every enlisted member, E6 and below, and try to find a solution from there. So it really bridges this gap between junior enlisted and NCOs and the top three from E7 to E9. So that's my understanding of the Rising Six. I've been a part of it since I came back from tech school. If you want to talk a little bit about the top three or the Rising Six and kind of tell us what that's about.
Yeah, so, I mean, top three is essentially the same thing, but for the top three enlisted, right? So every month we go through, we have different committees within the top three. So we have an awards committee, event committee, professional development, special projects, and then a chief's committee. So we all run through the different committees and, like, get updates from them, and then we just kind of, or typically do a leadership discussion to try to, like, get ideas flowing, learn from each other, and we just go over various topics. What do you have to add to that?
So I think it's kind of it's good to look at a little bit of the history on where we started and to where we are now. So years ago, we only had junior enlisted council, I believe is what it was called, and we had a chief's council. And a handful of senior NCOs around the wing said, hey, one, we kind of feel underrepresented. And two, we feel like we don't have a solid voice, collective voice. So a handful of folks came together and said, we're going to develop this senior enlisted council. Fast forward a handful of months, and the idea was that we combined the Chiefs Council and the senior enlisted council, created the top three at the same time. We renamed the junior enlisted council the Rising Six because it speaks to what they are. The Rising Six are the future of this wing, right? Julia, you sitting here, you're going to replace us at some point. So that's kind of the a little bit of the history of it. To Rachel's point, each month, I think, and you may say the same for the Rising Six, but each month at the top three, what we did probably, I don't know, a year and a half ago, we used to do, it was death by PowerPoint. We would show up and we'd go through slides, and there was really no, there was no goal in mind behind the meeting. So what we do now is we're a hard cutoff at about 30 minutes into the meeting, and then we spend the rest of the time talking about a leadership topic, a development topic. Just this past meeting, Rachel led a discussion on leading through change, right? Like the issues that the wing has experienced over the past year have been monumental. And she led a discussion on how do you do that? How do you get through that and still come out good on the other side of that? So overall, I think the most important lesson behind any of the councils is that they are a group of concerned voices that are set out to help every single man and woman within our wing.
Right. So it's not just about the problems too. We're kind of just focusing on how to progress forward, how to react to our current situation, and just kind of communicate with each other. So that leads me to my next question. As you told me why it's important to you, do you think that it's important for all service members to get involved in some way, whether that's a volunteer opportunity or to join a council or a group or just get involved outside of their specific job?
Absolutely. I think that, like, being part of these councils, like, it helps your growth and it like helps you network. It helps you get involved. And I just think that it makes you a better leader in the long run. I know, I wasn't heavily involved in, prior top three councils because my wings didn't offer that. So coming out here and being very new to Massachusetts, it helped me meet new people and just help my growth in general. I used to hate public speaking. Now I have to do it every month. And I just feel like it overall makes me a better leader in general.
Yeah, I think it's coming from the world of Intel. The majority of our folks are essentially locked in a building with no windows.
Right.
And it's really easy to kind of just continually exist in that environment and not get outside of there. Being exposed to those things that are outside of specifically Intel or any other career field, I think is a really good thing. It creates much more well-rounded airmen and future leaders. More to that point, it's easy to just get lost in your work center and never meet anybody. There's 1,250-ish people in this wing, and in my group specifically, there's 300 and change. It'd be really easy to just know those 300 people, but to be able to get exposed to other folks in the wing, other career fields in the wing, I don't know. Like I said, I think it just makes a better, well-rounded airman in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's very easy just to stay in your workplace and stay with the people that you know and just to come to work and do what you know what to do and to talk to the same people you've been talking to. I came from tech school a couple years ago, and I didn't know too many people here. So I kind of just stayed at my work center. I knew who I knew. And I didn't really even know how to get started or how to get involved. So I kind of sought those out because I had a great time in tech school getting involved in everything that I could. And I just met so many different people from so many different groups who had the same problems that I did, had the same questions that I did, or had answers to questions that I didn't know existed. And it made me more excited to come to work when you know more people. And I was able to connect with a lot of different airmen. And I think that these councils and these groups and any opportunity on base outside my unit is a good opportunity to get to do that.
I think it's really important for our traditional airmen to come in and be a part of that and get to know people and figure out if you need somebody from finance, you know this person from Rising Six or Top Three, you know that you can start with them, right? From a full-time perspective, it's really easy for us to, get to know people because we're here with them every day of the week. But when you're only here 2 days a week or 2 days a month, it's really easy to feel like you're disconnected from the organization. And I feel like attending those council meetings and whatnot, it allows them to get out there, introduce people, and just put their face into the community.
So two things. One, you mentioned when you experience some problems, not really knowing where to go. I will tell you that at least through my career, and I'm sure you both would echo the same, is that through your career you've experienced problems, you didn't know where to go, but those problems were likely not very unique. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I just mean there are problems that are experienced by almost every airman within the wing. So that network is super helpful to have, just to know that you can walk up to, I know for a fact that I can walk up to Senior Master Sergeant Shauna Rodriguez, who works in finance, and say, hey, Shauna, I got a problem with finance stuff. Can you help me? And Johnny on the spot. And that's just a small piece of the networking that exists within the councils. The other part of it is, much the same way as being, holed up in your work center, being a part of the councils gives you an opportunity to get outside of your comfort zone. I'm not saying that, I believe that everybody should exist in a pressure cooker, but I believe it's a good thing for development to get outside of your comfort zone, to experience those things that you might not normally experience, and be put in a place where you're the POC, you're the center of whatever that thing is that we're working. So Those are two great things anyhow.
Yeah, it's easy to feel alone when you don't know what else is out there, or right. It's easy to think that your problems are unique if you don't hear anyone else having that problem, mm-hmm. personal or professional, and you only really have the opportunity to connect with other people and feel like a part of a group when you lean forward, when you find opportunities to get outside of your unit, mm-hmm. as well as doing your job.
Yeah, right? I think, so every month, and I'm not sure if you experience the same at the Rising Six, every month we get a good turnout. We're probably in the ballpark of somewhere between 30 to 50 that show up every mm-hmm. month, which is amazing. That's right. Fantastic. We fill the wing conference room on most meetings. But I know that that's just a small representation of how many senior NCOs are in the wing. Do you experience the same with the Rising Six?
Yeah, we have, depending on what's going on with the schedule, we'll have 5 people and we'll have 30 people.
Oh my gosh.
And a lot of it has to do with people's schedules. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big obstacle time to get involved in anything, to get involved Absolutely. In community service, to get involved in the Rising Six Council, the Top Three Council, in the resiliency training program, the morale committee. There's a lot of different committees that we have here and a lot of bases have, and their biggest obstacle is time. Mm-hmm. How do you find the time between your daily tasks that you need to get done and every extracurricular that you have? So I'd like to talk about that. Maybe any advice that you have, maybe something that supervisors can do to make this a priority or encourage their subordinates to get out there. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
So I think you hit on that with the encouraging your members to go, right? So it's almost every Saturday, 1300 for both the Rising Six and Top Three. And I think one of the big points, or like one of the big reasons to do that, was so that supervisors could be out of the office and their airmen could be out of the office at the same time. So there was no like conflict with like supervisor wanting to do a training, but then Rising Six needs to go to a meeting or vice versa, right? So, but I think a huge part of that is just like trying to get your members to go out and do that. I have 3 airmen in my shop. I have a senior airman, A1C, and a student flight kid. But every month I'm like, okay, well, I'm going because, well, I need to be there. You know what I mean? But I really would encourage you all to go to the Rising Six and figure out what other, like, obstacles airmen are facing, and then you can bring that back either to me or to another trusted senior NCO or whatever, and just, like, iron out those details. I feel like a lot of the times, like, the junior enlisted have an issue, but they don't always feel comfortable going up to their senior NCOs. And I feel like you all hashing that out at Rising Six and then in turn go into Top Three. I feel like that's a huge like reason for us going to these meetings. But just that encouragement piece is really important, I think.
You brought it up, right? It's the, excuse me, it's the competing priorities. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, our understanding is we come to an RSD, and commanders have approximately 16 hours, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less time with their airmen to accomplish whatever objectives are necessary to train and prepare for whatever mission they might be tasked with. And that's a heavy lift given all of the requirements we have on our airmen between readiness, whether it's medical or ancillary training, time for development, right? CDCs, the new foundations courses that are headed our way, PME. There's a lot that occupies our weekends and that small window of time. So from a council standpoint, we realize what we're asking commanders and supervisors to do to give us their airmen's time. But I cannot underscore just how it important it is, not only to the wing, but to the individual airman's development to try. And I got it. You know, not everybody's going to be able to let their member go. I completely understand that. But I guess the ask from a council standpoint would to commanders and supervisors would be give your airman as the mission allows, give your airmen the opportunity to come and be a part of this thing. Because not only is it's good for our airmen, it's good for our wing, but it's fun. We have a lot of fun. That's my pitch anyways.
Right. And my biggest objective, or how I see the Rising Six, is an opportunity to amplify junior enlisted voices and NCO voices. And like you said, a lot of people don't feel comfortable and they feel very hesitant to bring that up to their supervisors or through their change of command. So I think that's a great opportunity for that as well as morale, like you said. And I think that a lot of people put these councils or any other involvement opportunity on the back burner because they don't understand the value of Rising Six or the top three to morale, and morale relates to readiness, and that's our biggest objective, I mean, arguably, during drill weekends, and to bettering the wing and bettering each airman. So I think that if we kind of discuss the value of each of these councils and the value of the morale committee and the enlisted force development committee and all these different committees that exist that people don't even know about, I think that it might fall higher on their priority list.
I think that's half the battle too, like getting them to understand what these different councils are. You know, like they might see Rising Six top three, D and I or whatever, and they just don't know what goes into it or what the goal is of that council. So like making sure that our members know what that is, I feel like that might encourage them more to go as well.
Many hands make light work. Many voices get heard. And I think that that's, we have power in numbers, and the more numbers we have, I think that the more our voices will be heard. I'll share kind of a story, a personal story. So years ago, I remember every end of AT, we would have some sort of burger burn. It was usually at the Eagle's Nest. And I can remember thinking to myself, well, this is kind of a free half day off, right? Like it usually starts around noon and then the wing commander stops talking and then you would see a sea of people leaving. And I was a part of that sea of people. And I remember looking at, usually it was the chief's council was manning the grills at the time and they were sweating and they were dirty and I remember looking at them and being like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, that doesn't look like any fun whatsoever. And the funny thing is, you know, over the past, say, 5 years or so, like, in getting more involved in the wing, I couldn't have been more wrong. The fun that we have, whether we're helping out at a, you know, a barbecue, whether we're helping out at an event at the Eagle's Nest, I have had more fun with doing council things than I can say I've had doing any other thing in the wing in the past 5 years or so. So that's not a ploy. I guess what I would say to, you know, the listeners and viewers would be, come out and check it out. Just come out and participate. We all get those. I mean, how many emails do we get every month where, hey, we're soliciting for volunteers, or we're soliciting for volunteers. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. If it's not your thing, cool, but at least you can say you tried it. But I will, I don't know, when I was the council chair, one of the things that I would typically bring up every month was, look, like we're going to work on development, we're going to work on leadership, we're going to work on the things that we need to do for our wing, but like we're not going to do it in a vacuum without having some fun while we do it. So
and if you don't like what we're doing, then join us and
tell
let
us
know,
like
because
what
otherwise
we're
it's not going to change.
Right.
And I think a big struggle is you had that burger burn during the day, but a lot of these events happen for an hour after drill. On drill weekends, when 3 o'clock hits, people are out the door. They have families to go to, or they have a long drive ahead of them, and they're not going to stay after drill if there's no added value, or they don't recognize the value in a morale event or a guest speaker or a burger burn or anything like that that happens after drill. And a lot of these volunteer opportunities are during the week too. For example, I know the Rising Six hosted they delivered meals to families in need for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we had an Easter egg hunt during the week, during Easter for all the military kids. So these are all opportunities that happen during the week. And those who are local who are able to come, they don't always see the value in it or recognize it just because they don't know.
Right.
So I think that conveying the value, or at least showing people that if you stay after, this is actually be really fun. It will contribute to yourself, to your peers, to your wing. So how do we think that we can kind of achieve that goal?
That's a good question.
That's probably a really good question.
No, and it's a tough nut to crack. Again, it comes back to competing priorities. We understand that folks have other obligations, right? They have kids, they have family obligations, they might have other jobs. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough nut to crack. I guess the best thing that I could say is we need the feedback to if something is perceived as not valuable to somebody, we need that feedback so that we know. We also could use advice on what would be valuable if what we're doing isn't hitting the mark.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
So you talked a little bit about the burger burn again, mm-hmm. and how you saw the Chiefs set the grill, and now you're a Chief. So when you were both junior enlisted members, were you as involved as you are now? When did you start kind of getting more involved on base, and why do you think that you started?
So for me personally, no, I was not. I was active duty for 6 years and then joined the Guard. Mm-hmm. When I was in the Guard, I was in part of EI, and they are very much like ISRG. They just stay in their little bubble.
Yeah.
But also those opportunities weren't there. So two of the other wings that I was at, they didn't have a top three or rising six, so that opportunity just wasn't there, and it was easier to just stay in my bubble than do anything about it. And then whenever I moved out here in August of 22, I didn't, like, I knew barely anybody. I knew all of my EI bubbas, but being at the wing level, like, I knew that I needed to meet other people, right. which encouraged me to go to my first top three meeting that same, like, first drill weekend. And it's just been, like, every weekend since then. So, I don't know.
So for me, kind of not a little bit similar. I didn't really start getting involved until I think I was a senior. And what I saw was that, you know, around the wing, there were a lot of things that could be better, a lot of things that needed to be worked. So I just kind of jumped in by our charter in the top three. So Senior Master Sergeant Wes Smith was the first chairperson of the top three council, and he did a phenomenal job setting things up for me to walk in the door and take over. And at that point, I guess this comes down to, you know, the conversation about participation. They had asked for volunteers, and I think I was going TDY. I wasn't able to make the meeting, and I said, hey, if nobody else volunteers, I'll throw my name in the ring. And then I came back from TDY, and they said, hey, congrats, you're the new chairman of the top three council. And at the time, I thought, well, I got a busy job. Like, hopefully I can handle it. But what I found was the team that was in place, the regular volunteers, the other officers on the board, what an awesome team, like team effort it was to run the council. And that's kind of how I got involved. And then it's just branched out from there, just trying to help wherever I can to make the wing a little bit better.
That's interesting. I went to the Rising Six too, with the goal to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it was, but I came from tech school, and I was like, I know no one here, especially not my age. Like,
right.
I know all the, because I work in the commander's hallway, so I know a lot of senior NCOs and commanders, but I didn't really know anyone that I could relate to, or as an airman or as a young military person. So
right.
I was like, I'll go and I'll try to make some friends. I'll try to meet people. And then every meeting I would kind of participate a little bit more. I was a little hesitant. I would answer questions. And I just found such value in the council. And it was a very open conversation. I got to meet a lot of people who had the same problems as me or same concerns, or we could bounce ideas off of each other of how to solve a problem. So I had to just go. I just had to just sit there and then listen for one meeting, and then the next meeting, maybe raise my hand once, and kind of just show up and see what it's about. So I think that a lot of people are just afraid to make that first step. But
right.
once you go once, then you're more likely to go again.
Right.
I think it's one of the things that I've noticed throughout the years, and it usually happens during our normal leadership or development discussion, is that we don't exist in a vacuum. We may have opinions or perceptions of certain things. And when we really start talking through things, and once people feel comfortable enough to speak up, it's amazing to hear the different opinions, sometimes contrary. And that's okay. That drives, like, it drives really good conversations. It allows individuals to present their perspectives to others who might see it differently. And I think that, at least for me anyways, that's been one of the most valuable parts of being a part of the top three is just knowing that there are other opinions out there. There are, you know, what did they say? You know, 1,000 ways to skin a cat. There's lots of different opinions out there, and it's great to hear them and be able to talk through them.
That's one of the things that I really love about our leadership discussions in the top three. You hear so many different perspectives and things that you might not have thought about. And then, like, it leads to after council discussions, like, between senior NCOs or whatever, just to, like, get another person's point of view and how you can, like, kind of adopt that or just, like, little bits and pieces of it to help you better succeed as well.
Besides the top three and the rising six, do you know any other opportunities to get more involved? The first thing I can think of is community service opportunities. Mm. I know Family Readiness hosts a few of those, and the Heroes in Transition mm-hmm. hosts a few of those, and they open it up to all service members to volunteer their free time. Mm-hmm. Do you know any other opportunities that people can get more involved?
So OCAC is another...
Otis Civilian Advisory Council.
Yeah, they support us so much. And right now, they're built up of all civilians. For a long time, they had military personnel that would join them. And I think it's kind of veered off from that. Is it, did she say total?
None of them are prior service military. So they've reached out asking for some guidance, some help, because they don't speak military speak, and they don't necessarily understand what it is that we need. So they're a huge help.
Yeah, and they want to take care of us, but if they don't know anything about us and our mission, then that kind of, like, it doesn't help them, you know. So that's one of the huge ones that I feel like is near and dear to Chief's heart, my heart. What else do you have? DE&I is another mm-hmm. one across the wing. They're up and coming. That's Deb Townsend is doing
diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And inclusion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Master Sergeant Deb Townsend is over that right now. She's doing fantastic things with it.
They are severely underrepresented, though. Mm-hmm. I think again, you know, when it comes to competition, they meet on Sundays at 11. Usually
sure,
Sundays,
honestly.
So they're competing against what is typically like your mission or your training day. But I know that they are constantly looking for assistance, and their advertisement is very clear. You don't have to be any certain type of person. It can be anybody. They just want to make sure that they are representing the diversity, equity, inclusion right. within the wing.
That exists across a lot of different units and all different mm-hmm. branches.
We have a very diverse wing. I don't understand how they're struggling, but again, competing priorities, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But I think that's one that people could definitely get involved in. What else?
From a community support aspect, I think that's an important thing to touch on. You'll see throughout the year, there are a lot of different events, a lot of different opportunities to get out in the community. Former wing shirt, Senior Master Sergeant Tori Kenny, she would regularly set up visits to assisted living facilities, mm-hmm. Nursing homes, and the like, where we would go in and specifically visit veterans who were living in those facilities. There are so many opportunities to help in the community. There's unfortunately just not enough time. But I think that that's an important aspect of the wing, to make sure that the community understands, one, that we're here. That it used to be a lot easier when there were airplanes on the ramp. They knew we were here because the airplanes were really loud. And since then, we're much quieter. So one, to understand that we're here, understand what we do, and to make sure that we're solid ambassadors to the community. for the wing. So I think that's super important.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. To gain public trust and public support.
Yeah.
And just getting involved with the community, it builds a relationship with the public too, that we need that relationship to maintain our mission and to get the job done here on
Absolutely.
The Cape.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So, you know, in addition to DE&I, Rising Six, Top Three, the wing has the Company Grade Officers Council. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but what I had heard was it was difficult to get participation for a CGO council based on their small numbers overall in the wing. Mm-hmm. And what I believe I heard was that they are going to be morphing that into an officers council. So right. They'll have much more representation.
I had heard that too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
01 through 05, is that what it was?
I believe so.
I think so.
So no matter where, no matter what your rank is, no matter where you are in the wing, there's an opportunity to be involved and to help, or to be helped for that matter. There's so much that we can do. We just need the power in numbers. We need the numbers. We need folks to come forward and say, hey, here's the problem I'm dealing with, or here's something across the wing that I see that could be better. Not only to identify the issues, but to maybe help champion them to get them across the finish line with wing leadership.
So lastly, unless you have anything else to add, let's say an airman walked up to you and say, I want to get more involved. I don't know where to start. What advice would you give them?
To just do it. Figure out, first of all, develop a game plan or what they can get involved with, and just making that a priority. It's easy to say that you want to get involved and then do nothing about it. So I think that's the biggest thing for them. To give them those resources and try to help them get involved.
Just do it.
Yeah.
So I think as far as I can tell, the majority, you can start with the councils, right? And the majority of the council boards, actually all of the folks that are on the council boards are super approachable. All of the chiefs, as far as I can tell, are super approachable. Just go up and ask. And we will point you in the right direction. We want your help. We need your help. Give us the opportunity to point you in that direction. And what we'll likely say is, what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? Come to our next meeting. We'll give you a chance to talk if you want to. If not, hand us what you have for problems. We'll present it for you. Solicit ideas and perspectives on how to fix things or change things. There's a lot of ways to get involved. Just reach out. Shoot, call me directly. I'll point you in the right direction.
That's very nice.
Right. Not only that, it's one of the things that I love about Chief McGuire. He'll point you in the right direction, but, he'll also help set it up. So I remember whenever I first came here, I needed help with something. I have a six-year-old that's on the spectrum, and I needed some help with school or something. And he was like, Master Sergeant Shelby Rice. And then he's like, let me set up a meeting for you, too. You know what I mean? So I think that's another big thing, point them in the right direction, but also
help them get there.
Yeah, finish it out too.
Yeah,
the follow through on that.
That's great advice for supervisors across the wing. Mm-hmm. That to get their airmen more involved, maybe give them the schedule, give them where they need to be at what time, and then make sure that there's time in the schedule for them to actually go there and get involved.
Mm-hmm. Right. You've got to allow them those opportunities. Otherwise, they're going to hear the opportunities and not be able to do anything with it.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, thank you both so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks
I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, this was great.
This is great.